am getting this together. Okay. All right. Hallelujah. Bless the name of Jesus. Good morning. So good to see everyone. I'm going to say a little word of prayer. Father God, we thank you for this, another one of your beautiful days. We know that it's raining outside, but Father, we want you to keep us in the rain. We want your word to reign in our lives, Father. We just thank you, God. I ask, God, that you just allow the word that you've instilled upon me to pour out upon your people, Father, and just let it fall in good ground and good soil that will multiply in fruit that will glorify you, Father. And I ask these blessings in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen. So I'm going to talk to you today about God's plans. I have one scripture that I want to share with you, and I know it's familiar with probably everybody in here. Jeremiah 29:11. I'm going to start with that scripture, but I want to read a few different translations. I'm going to start with the NIV version. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." The Amplified Version says, "For I know the plans and thoughts that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for peace and well-being and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." And the Message Bible says, "I know what I am doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not abandon you. Plans to give you the future you hope for." So I'm talking today about God's plans. You know, God told Jeremiah, he said, "I knew you before you were in your mother's womb." He knew all of us before we were in our mother's womb. And I like the way that Jeremiah 1:5, the Message Bible says, "Before I shaped you in the womb, I knew all about you. Before you saw the light of day, I had holy plans for you." So God knew all of us before our parents even got together and met. He already knew us, and he placed a plan in our lives and allowed us to be birthed into the earth so that his plans may be fulfilled in our lives. But what we need to remember, this is the thing that we need to remember, is that although it's our lives, it's God's plans. So that means we have to let him work his plans. We can't get in the way of that. We have to let him work his plans. Now, I have a couple of definitions of the word plan. One of the definitions is, a plan is an intention or decision about what one is going to do. God has an intention and a decision about what he wants to do in you. Another definition of plan is a detailed proposal for doing or achieving something. Now, many of you know that I am a teacher by profession. I'll be in 30 years of public education. Wow. It's been a long time. But I am a teacher by profession. And a few years ago, God actually gave me kind of like an analogy, I'll say, of my life as a teacher and him as the teacher. We know he is the teacher. Now, and what he began to lay out to me is that, you know, as teachers, before we begin any kind of instruction, we always have a lesson plan. And when we are developing our plan, we always start with the end, what we want them to know. We always start with, at the end of this lesson, what is it we want them to walk away with? What piece of knowledge do we want them to have at the end of the lesson? That's where we start. Then we go back and plan how we're going to implement that lesson. And God does the same thing. He knows already the end. He knows what his end result and plan is for our lives. He already said it. He said he has plans to prosper us. He knows it's for peace, for not to harm us or take us out of here, but we have hope and we have a future. But once we finish developing that plan, we don't just give it to the kids and say, "Here you go, take this plan, go over there and do what it tells you to do." We have to work our plan. We have to teach our plan. And all I want them to do as students is listen, follow directions, and participate in what I'm asking you to do. Well, guess what? In God's plan for our lives, He wants us to listen. He wants us to follow directions, follow His lead, follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, and He wants us to participate and do whatever it is He's asking us to do. We don't have to know the whys. We don't have to know the hows and the whys. All we need to know is that God has a customized, unique plan and plans for our lives to prosper us, not to harm us, but to give us hope and a future. And something else God began to lay out to me about when I'm teaching is, before I begin to do any kind of instruction, give any kind of directions, I need to make sure I have their attention. So I teach second grade. I teach second grade math and science, so I have the little bitty ones. So you know they're kind of all over the place anyway. So I always have this little saying that I do from day one, eyes on me, 1, 2, 3. And I tell you, I probably say that about 50 times the first day of school. And it continues on throughout probably the whole month. But we reach a point where they know, regardless of where I am standing or sitting in the classroom, when I say, eyes on me, 1, 2, 3, everything stops. And by the time I get to 3, their eyes are on me, all of them. Their eyes are on me. And that way, that's how I know that I have their attention and they're ready to learn. They're ready to receive whatever it is that I have for them. Well, in order for us to receive from God, guess what? We have to have our eyes on Him. That's what He was laying out to me. He said, I need your attention to be able to receive what I have for you. And as we focus on Him, we begin to see His sovereignty. We begin to understand that there's nothing that we have in ourselves that we can do, but we have to operate in His strength. We can do all things through Christ that He's purposed for us to do, who strengthens us, because it's His strength. We can only do what He desires for us to do and fulfill His plan if we are in Him. We can't go and try to do it in our own strength. We must decrease that He will increase. Less is more. Less of me means more of Him. And God's strength is perfected in our weakness. We must abide in Him all the time for Him to fulfill His plans for our lives. And what God has been teaching me continually, because it's progressive, is that I can only live in the fullness of His plans for my life in Him. That's the only way I'm going to do it. And that's the only way we can do it. You know, God has given us talents and abilities. We have giftings that we can do, you know. But guess what? The talents, abilities, and giftings that He's placed in us are for the call that He has and the plan that He has on our lives. Sometimes we want to use those talents and giftings in the way that we want to use them, maybe to benefit ourselves or to maybe benefit somebody else. But the giftings and the talents are for the call that God has on our life, to be used in the way that He desires to use them, so we can live in the fullness of what He has for our lives. That's the only way we can do it. We can't do it in and of ourselves. We have to be in Him. I don't care what kind of talent and abilities we have. It is not by might nor by power, God said, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. We have to be in Him and be led by His Spirit in our lives to fulfill and walk in His plan for our lives. I am I'm working on my second book, and the title is From Religion to Relationship. And this is a testimonial. My first book was a testimonial as well, but this is a testimonial of my exodus out of religious bondage. And I just want to share a little bit of my testimony with you. I started singing in church when I was 3 years old. I started singing with my older siblings, and my mother actually had a testimony. I say had because she's no longer with us, she's graduated. But she used to always give this testimony about how I was baby number three, but when I was born, baby number one wasn't three yet, and baby number two wasn't two yet. So we were typically, you know, we were those stair-step children, as they call them. And she said that she used to put me, kind of prop me up in front of the television set when she would be going about doing her domestic duties. And there used to be a children's show called Uncle Al. I may be aging myself. I'm a 60s baby. I'll just say it right now. I just celebrated 58 years. So there was this television show called Uncle Al, and she'd prop me up so I could watch the Uncle Al show. And she said, this is her testimony, that there was this time, you know, at the Uncle Al show, they always ended with America the Beautiful. America, America, God shed his grace on thee. Well, she said that this particular day I was sitting in front of that television set, and when that song started, that I just started in a baby talk. Da, 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 da. And she said she was totally astounded. She said the Lord spoke to her right then and said, that same gift of music that you hear in that child is in all three of your children. And as we started getting a little bit older, she began to work with us. And the thing about my mother is, my mother was not a singer. My father was really the singer. But my mother was not a singer. But when she told my father what she believed the Lord wanted us to start singing, he told her, well, if the Lord told you, then you're the one supposed to work with him. So she got the little record player and the little records, and she taught us. And I'm not talking about these, Jesus loves a little, yeah, we know that. But I'm talking about some songs. My parents were big in gospel music. And so we started singing in church. My father was already preaching. He was a preacher when I was born. But we started singing in church. I was three, my sister was five, and my brother was six. And I've been singing in church ever since. When I was 5 years old, my father felt like the Lord was leading him to start a church. So he started a church, a little storefront church in downtown Cincinnati. And we all were in church ministry at that point, you know. So it was every time the church doors were open, we were in there. And we didn't just have one church service on Sunday morning. We had Sunday school. We had Sunday morning worship. We had Sunday afternoon worship. We had Sunday evening worship. We had Tuesday night Bible study. We had Thursday night prayer meeting. And anywhere in between there, we were liable to fellowship with another church. And then we had what we called revivals, where we had church every night of the week. And guess what? Every time the church doors were open, we were there. And not just sitting there. We were in ministry. As we began to grow in music, we started picking up instruments and playing, and we had to do this and this. And we had the car washes and the bake sales to help raise money. I mean, we were working the ministry in that church. So, and every time the doors were open, we were always there. But what I had to learn was church ministry is not indicative of a genuine relationship with God. I knew how to do church, but did I know how to be who God created me to be? No, because I was too busy in ministry. I was just too, and that's all I knew. So that's all I did. And although I was very active in church ministry, my spiritual foundation was religion, because religion is all about works. Keep working for the Lord, keep working for the Lord. And I am not discrediting church ministry. We need church ministry, okay? I believe that the church was ordained, well, we are the church. Honestly, we are. But I believe in the fivefold ministries, the gifts of the Spirit to help edify and build up the body of Christ. I believe in all of that, okay? In its place. That should not be our foundation. Our foundation should not be works. Our foundation of our spiritual lives should be on Jesus, on God. Our spiritual life is anchored in the Lord. That's where we should be. And after all of that ministry, and I grew up, I stayed right there in church. I was a young person, you know. People could go and do other things. You know, we couldn't wear the pants and go to movies and do, you know, we had to be in church. We had to do the church thing, you know. And so that's how I grew up, so that was all I knew. But the reality was, is as I grew older and I found myself doing all of this ministry, I was finding that my personal life was unfulfilled. After giving out and playing and singing and teaching Sunday school and Bible study, and after doing all of this, I would go home and my life would be so unfulfilled. And I had to come to the point where it was like, okay, this ain't working. Okay, and I'll be honest with you, it took a while. It took a while. I was trying to follow all of the rules and regulations that I was taught I needed to, because that was all I knew. That was just all that I knew. But it was religion. Religion is about works. Thou shalt not. Religion puts us right back under the law that Jesus fulfilled to purchase our freedom. We are free. Who the Son has set free is free indeed. We are free. Don't let religion put you back into bondage. I'm speaking from experience here. Religion is all about doing. You got to stay busy. You have to stay busy working for the Lord, working for the Lord. And I had embraced religion as the foundation for my life. And Oscar, when you said, you kind of quoted what Clarice Fluitt said about God will let you believe what you believe to get you where you want to be, where he wants you to be. Yes, he let me believe. Because a lot of times it's like, well, God, you're sovereign. Why didn't you just step in and change the whole thing? He was like, look, and this is something that we need to understand, what God allows us to experience in this life, okay, is working for our good. All of it. It's working for our good. Now, he didn't say that all, the word doesn't say all things feel good, sound good, taste good, smell good, or look good. Make sure I had all of them. That's not what it says. It says that it's all working together for our good. The good of those who love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. So God let me believe what I believed to get me to the point of where I could see and understand that my life needed to be built on him. I had to come to the end of myself. I had exhausted myself trying to have this fulfilled life, this abundant, trying to experience this abundant life that Jesus came for me to have. I'm trying to make that happen. I'm going to church. I'm doing this. I'm reading my, I'm trying to do all of this church ministry, but I'm at the end of the day, I'm still unfulfilled. I had to experience what true intimacy with the Father was all about. That's what I had to experience. God wants relationship with each one of us. I needed to come into the knowledge of who God is and develop that intimacy with him to be able to rest in his sovereignty and not feel like I always had to be doing something to be fulfilled. He is all my righteousness. And I'm complete in him. I needed to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. You know, I kind of had to go through what I call a detoxification process. You know, religion toxifies the gospel, the good news. And I know the air probably left the room for some people when I said that. But religion toxifies the gospel, the good news. The gospel is simple. Romans 5 and 8, for God commended his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17, God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. The gospel, that good news, It's simple. We didn't have to do a thing. We didn't have to do anything. Jesus paid it all. 2 Corinthians 5 and 21. God made Christ, who knew no sin, become sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. We are the righteousness of God in Christ. We don't have to do anything to validate who we are in Christ. We can stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has set us free, and we don't have to be entangled again in the yoke of bondage. Just abide in him and rest in him. You know, there's a in the Bible, there's a couple of sisters, Mary and Martha, and they were close friends of Jesus and their brother Lazarus. But one of the passages of scriptures talks about how Jesus was in their home with them, and Martha was busy about doing all the domestic stuff, preparing the dinner and laying the placemats or whatever it was she was doing. She was busy, but Mary was just sitting at the feet of Jesus. And Martha's bustling around in the kitchen or whatever, and she kind of got a little upset with Mary, and she said, "Jesus, would you tell her to get up and help me?" I'm paraphrasing, okay? That's probably how I would have said it. That's why I said it that way. But Martha wanted Jesus to make Mary get up and come and help her. And Jesus' response was, "Martha, Martha, you are careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen." That good part, and it will not be taken away from her. That good part is in the presence of the Lord. That's that good part. The psalmist says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to just be in his presence and behold the beauty of the Lord." God just wants us to be. Yes, he wants us to be obedient to what he's leading us to do, but he wants us to understand that even when we are being obedient, it's not us, it's him doing it. All we're doing is just submitting ourselves to him. It's not us, it's him. We rest, he works. He works through us. Hallelujah. You know, there used to be a song. Well, they're not. There may still be a song. I don't even know if it was a song. All I know is there was a saying. It may be a song, it may not. But there was a saying that only what you do for Christ will last. It may be a song. It may just be something that I've heard a lot. But, you know, God gave me a little something with that. Only what you do for Christ will last. And what he revealed to me is, only what you do for Christ that he told you to do will last. Because the reality is we can be doing a good thing, but not the right thing. Okay? So the right thing is always what God is leading us to do. And the reason why it will always last is because it's not us doing it, it's him doing it through us. And everything he does and all that he is will last forever. When we are in Christ, when we are in God, we can live that abundant life that Christ came for us to have, regardless of our situation and our circumstance, and regardless of what's going on in the world. Because when we are in him, our focus is on him. We're not focusing on our surroundings and what is taking place in the physical realm, or even on our jobs, or even what's going on in our lives. 2 Corinthians 4:18, we look not at the things that are seen. Why? Because it's just temporary. I mean, we can look outside and see the rain falling down, but guess what? 2 hours from now, it may be something totally different. So the things in the physical, we don't focus on that. That's not where we get our attention. Those things many times are only a distraction. We don't focus on those things because they are temporary. We focus on what is unseen, because what is unseen is what is eternal. Our God is an eternal God, and his word is eternal. Hallelujah. When our eyes are on him, we can dwell in that secret place of the Most High, abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. When we are in him, 1,000 may fall at our side, 10,000 at our right hand, but nothing will come nigh me. Why? Because we're safe in that secret place. We're abiding under that shadow of the Almighty. We are resting in the sovereign God. We know we may go through situations, and we do have to. Life happens. It rains on the just and the unjust. Life happens. We go through situations and circumstances that may not feel so good, sound so good, smell so good, taste so good, or sound, or did I say sound twice? Or look so good. I want to make sure I get them all in there. But what we do know is that in his plan, it's working for our good. The word of the Lord says all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. And I have learned from personal experience that in the most devastating situation and circumstance, God can take that thing and turn it around and make it work for your good and for his glory. I have experienced that over and over again. So we're not looking at the circumstance. We're not looking at the situation. Our focus is on our almighty sovereign God and who we know him to be. We're resting in who he is. We are in him. Hallelujah. God's plan, we may not always understand God's plans. And it's okay. It's okay if we don't understand it, because he knows, okay? He knows it all. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. We know that. But there may be some times when we feel like we're stagnant, for lack of a better word. I couldn't think of anything else to say. We feel like we're stuck, okay? We may feel like, and even in feeling that way, we may feel like, you know what? What I know God has placed in me is bigger than what I'm seeing, than what I'm doing. We may feel like we're ready to step out, and we may know that we have a call. We think we're ready to step out in that call because we have the ability, we have the talent, we have the giftings. We're ready to step on out there, and we know that that we have the call of God. So, and it's hard for us to understand why. Why isn't this thing happening for me? Why am I stuck in this same place, this same job, this same position? Why am I still doing this? Don't they see what's in me? Don't they understand the value of what God has placed in me? Doesn't God realize he's placed something in me that needs to come forth? Yes, he does. But this is something that God has also taught me. What he has placed in us in his timing is the perfect timing. We will come forth in what he in his plan and what he has placed in us to deposit into the earth. What we don't want to do is to try to force birth something prematurely. That's what we don't want to do. There are times when we just need to wait. We just sing the song, I will wait on you, Almighty God. And while I wait, I'll worship. Okay? That's our lifestyle. Because God, we want to make sure that we don't move ahead of you. We don't want to be behind you either, but we want to make sure that we are moving with you, that whatever it is that you want to birth in us and through us is in your time and the way you want to do it. Because when it is in God's time, it's the perfect situation all the way around. And whatever it is that he births through us and in us will accomplish what he has sent for it to do, what he intended for it to do. According to his plan for our lives, We have to be in Him and let Him birth those things in us and birth those things through us in His time, because that's when it will accomplish in the earth that which He wanted it to do. And again, God's plan may sometimes take us out of our comfort zone. You know, I'm kind of going to go back to myself as a teacher. You know, I don't teach the same lesson to my students every time I get up, okay? Once they learn 1 + 1 = 2, we can move on, okay? So I tell them, today I'm going to challenge you a little bit. We're going to do something different. We're going to do something you may not have seen before. We've not done this before. I'm going to challenge you. You know why, second graders? Because when we challenge ourselves as learners, we grow. And you know what God wants us to do? He wants us to grow in our faith, grow in Him. So sometimes He may take us out of our comfort zone. You know, we like doing what we know how to do because we're comfortable doing it. You know, we do. We like doing what we know how to do. But you know what? In order for us to grow in Him and in our faith, God has to sometimes take us out of that familiar and what is familiar to us to increase and have us grow and expand in not just our knowledge of Him, but in our faith in Him and in our understanding of who He is in our lives. He wants us to grow in Him, and sometimes He may be leading us to say or do something that we may not even feel like we're qualified to do. But guess what? I can do all things through Christ that He told me to do, who strengthens me, because it's not my strength, it's His. Okay, less of me means more of Him. His strength is perfected in my weakness. I realize I'm weak, but He's strong. And I can operate and move and have my being in Him and in His strength. That's where faith comes in. And this year, leading up to this year, God gave me 3 scriptures. And I'm going to share them with you. The first one is Galatians 3:11. The just shall live by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. When we are being led by the Spirit of God, we must remember our faithful God always empowers us for the work He wants to do through us. God knows the plans He has for our lives, and He wants us to be one with Him. He wants us to be one in Him so that He can fulfill His plans for our lives. I want to leave one more scripture with you. Very familiar, I'm sure. Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own finite understanding. I threw finite in there. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all of your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. So I have a song that I want to close with now. This song says, He who began the good work in you, He's faithful to complete it. He started this thing, and He's faithful to complete it. Began the good work in you. He who began the good work in you. He is faithful to complete it. Yes, He is faithful to complete it. He who started the
If the struggle you're facing is slowly replacing your hope with despair, or the process is long and you're losing your song in the night, you can be sure the Lord has His hand on you, safe and secure. He will never abandon you, for you are His treasure, and He finds His pleasure in you. Yes, He who began the good work in you, began the good work in you. Yes, He is faithful to complete it. He is faithful to complete it. He who started the work, He is faithful to complete it in you. Yes, He who started the work, He's faithful to complete it in you. Yes, He who started the work, He's faithful to complete it in you.
Cynthia is going to step down from being the praise and worship leader. And, you know, we love her and we'll miss her. And she said she'll probably come to church sometimes and visit us. God has, she feels like God's been calling her to do other things. And she don't know exactly what it is, you know. I would rather her tell you, because she can probably tell you better than me. But, you know, she said she sort of felt like Abraham, where God's just told her to get up and get out to a place I'll show you, basically. And she doesn't really know. She's not planning on going to another church or anything like that. And, you know, it makes me sad that we'll miss Cynthia if she's not here. But it makes me also happy, because that's our heart's desire for everybody here, that they grow into whatever God's calling for their life is. I love what she was saying today. That was an excellent, excellent word. And you know, we're just going to believe that God's going to open doors for her. You know, she's tremendously gifted in sharing the word and writing. You know, and I believe God's going to bless that book tremendously. And like I told her when she told me a while back, and I didn't say anything to you all because I was hoping she'd change her mind. And I'm happy for her, you know. It makes me cry because, you know, I feel like, you know, she's going to fulfill whatever God's purposes are. He's going to open up some wonderful things for her. I believe that, you know. Years ago, I told Tim May, you know, when he was our worship leader, I told him, I said, I feel like God's going to open ministry up for you all around the world. And I gave him a prophetic word to that point. And guess what? That's what he's doing. He's going all around the world, you know. And God always opens a door. He's doing it through his job, but he opens a door for him to speak. And sometimes he speaks to 10,000 people in churches, you know, really huge churches and stuff. But he always stops back in here, you know. And you know, I want Cynthia to remember, we love you, and come back and see us as most often as you can. you know, and if you feel like you want to attend church here without being the worship leader, that's fine, you know. We love you, and, you know, if you feel like you got a word that you want to share, give me a call, and we'll open the door for you to come here and share the word. And, you know, but we love Cynthia, and I want to bring her up, and I want us to pray over her, you know, and that God just open up whatever he's got for her, and we're going to do that if it's okay. And anybody wants to come up, just come on up, and we're going to pray over Cynthia.
He is faithful, and he's going to do it, and his establishment is where you shall walk.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Yes.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Love you. I love the Christ in you.
Praise the Lord.
The joy can kick
praise
in, too.
Praise the Lord. Praise God.
Yes.
Anybody else?
Yeah. You know, Cynthia, a couple weeks ago, I talked about an adventure, and then they told me that you were leaving. Well, this is your adventure. Step out. Don't be afraid. You know, and there may be some bumps in the road, but they'll all be smoothed out at the end, and you're going to just see a glorious, glorious time in this adventure.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you.
Amen. Anybody else? It's on. It's on. It's on. Yeah, it's working. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Anybody else?
I feel that the Lord has given you the mantle of Esther, and that you know, when she went into King Ahasuerus's throne room, he raised his scepter, she came in. And I just see you going into the throne room, and I see the Father raising the scepter, saying, yes, this is what I have for you, and this is, and so all I hear is boldness. Have the boldness to do whatever he tells you to do and just go do it. Just like your message.
Praise the Lord.
Do just what he tells you to do.
That's right. I've always seen you, I told you, as such a worshiper. And God has shown me as you go that as you're worshiping the places that you go out, he's bringing down strongholds. Mm-hmm. He's bringing down strongholds that you're going out before, you know, the battle is the Lord's.
Yes.
But he showed me you going out, and in your worshiping and in the word that he gives you, he's bringing down strongholds, and that
praise the Lord.
You're true worshiper in him.
Praise the Lord.
Love
him. Cynthia, I just want to thank you for leading us in worship, because it's such an important part of every service.
Yes.
And even early on, when I'm sure you felt resistance, I thank you for being faithful and doing what you were supposed to do. And we love you, and we just would appreciate you.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Okay, now I'm going to speak to you a little bit. Like I told you on the phone when we talked, I feel like God's going to open many doors for you. And he's also going to place a prophetic anointing on you. You're going to speak a word that's going to break down barriers and break down walls in people's lives. And he's going to give you a word of authority and power.
Amen.
And don't hold back. When you feel even a prophetic anointing come on you, speak it out. Because God's word never returns void, and it will hit the mark that it's supposed to. And he's going to give you insight even when you come and you meet other people and other situations prophetically. He's going to have you speak to those situations prophetically. You know, the Spirit of Christ is the spirit of prophecy. Mm-hmm. I don't, you know, the Word mm-hmm. declares that. And even as you desire that Spirit to be in you to its fullness, you're going to start speaking a prophetic word that's going to be a word that will break down walls, that will bring down kingdoms in people's lives, mm-hmm. and that will build up kingdoms in people's lives. But I just want you to know, like I told you, God's going to open up doors. He might open up seminars for you. He might open up a lot of things for you, because I could just see you doing all kinds of things. I could see God opening up a lot of opportunities. And whatever he tells you to do, don't say, well, I can't do that, or I don't have the finances or whatever. You just be obedient, and God will supply all of your needs yes. according to his riches and glory. And he'll be the one that'll open up all the opportunities and open up all the doors. But like you said up there from the word, and the word that you spoke today, mm-hmm. that was that's a prophetic right. word wow. for you
yeah,
too.
That's right.
Yes. In that God wants you to just move when he tells you move. And he wants you to speak when he tells you to speak. He wants you to be quiet when he tells you to be quiet. Because sometimes, you know, we like to speak when we shouldn't speak. But I'm going to tell you, God's going to do some wonderful things.
Oh, yes.
And it makes, like I said, it makes me sad because we're not going to see, but also makes me happy. Mm-hmm. Because that's my heart's desire, to see the body of Christ grow up.
Yes.
And God's going to take you into a much higher realm than you've ever been in before.
Yes.
And Father, right now, I ask for
yes.
your anointing
yes.
to just rest
Jesus.
Upon her,
yes.
to just rise up from within.
Jesus.
Father,
yes.
let that
yes.
Spirit
yes.
of Christ rise up.
Jesus.
And wherever Cynthia goes, whatever she
yes.
does,
Father.
That people would feel that presence, that people would be drawn to her,
you.
That you would even open up opportunities for her to begin to speak in other
thank
churches
you.
And in women's groups and everything
thank
else,
you.
Wherever you would have her. I ask you to let your anointing rest as she writes this book. Let that book be so anointed
mm, yes,
that people's
yes,
lives will be
yes,
changed
yes,
when they read
yes,
it.
Yes.
And I thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you,
thank
sister.
You.
We love you.
There's something else I want to share with her that God has shown me. He was showing me, I read Bill Burton's High Praises of God. And he was showing me you playing the piano and worshiping. And he's wanting to bring his people into a place of worship.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, crap. And that as you just let God flow through you in worship and praise, there's his people. He's going to bring him into high places of praise, which is in higher realms in him.
Yeah.
That you just let, don't hold back. That as you begin to play many times, I felt it as you were playing, that you wanted just to so let loose, so to worship God, I felt it. And he told me, don't hold back.
Praise God.
Because he's blessing his body.
Amen.
That we come into these places.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise
Jesus.
Well, God bless you, sis. And we love you. And, you know, come and see us as much as you can.
Yes.
I can say, can I just say
sure,
something
sure.
real quick? I don't want my back to be to anyone. So when I, honestly, when I came to Wings, I came as a worship leader.
Mm-hmm.
I had just received my principal's license from in the state of Ohio, and I wanted to be this school administrator. Since then, God's just taken that whole desire away from me. But I had just gotten my principal's license, and I went online. I was in Career Builders trying to say, okay, I want to go on to the next level in my career. And I didn't find anything. But I saw this ad, congregation in Westchester in need of a worship leader. And honestly, I wasn't looking for that, okay? I was kind of in between. I hadn't really been leading worship in a church for a couple of years. I felt like I was just kind of on a hiatus, which is where God wanted me to be. But something just kind of connected with that, and there was the number on there. It was Jim Wilson's number. I called Jim. We talked a little bit. We found out that he knew the pastor of a church that I had been worship leader for and music administrator for. So he talked with that pastor, and you know, and he called me back and he said, yeah, well, you know, we'd like you to come over and just kind of minister. And so, you know, so I came and I ministered, and I honestly, I felt like that was my purpose for being here. And I, you know, I know that I have a call of being a worship leader. I know that, and I'm comfortable with doing it, and I love leading worship. But that really wasn't why I was called. I mean, that may be one of the reasons, but it wasn't the reason, okay? There's always the reason. I needed to hear and receive the sonship message for the completion of my exodus out of religion. Because for so long, I just did. That's all I knew was ministry and church. I longed to know, God, why is it that after I give so much to your people, I'm so empty? I know that's not your will for my life. And I had to get to that point where he could show me, daughter, I love you. And I just want you to love me and to be with me. I will give you that fulfillment that you need. There's nothing you have to do. There's nothing you have to do. You are fulfilled in me. And I never really heard that message so strongly and so consistently as I did with Coming to Wings. And I want to thank you, Oscar, because that message has all, and for some of you who've always heard it, that's wonderful, but I didn't grow up really hearing it, and if I did hear it, I was probably too busy doing something that I missed it, but I hadn't really embraced it. But being here, I heard that sonship message. I know who I am in God. I know that I don't have to do a thing but just rest in his sovereignty and go where he tells me to go, speak what he tells me to speak, sing what he tells me to sing, write what he tells me to write, say what he tells me to say, play what he tells me to play. That's all I need to do. And it's not me, it's him.
Amen.
And I just want to thank all of you for just accepting me.
Praise the Lord. You gave me goosebumps.
Thank you.
Anybody else?
Praise the Lord.
Well, God bless you, sis. Yeah. Like I said,